This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, the 19th chapter. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial customs. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. And in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The Gospel of our Lord. Tonight, we are further into the story of the Triduum. We've already received the meal, eaten what we were commanded to eat. Now we sit. Not unlike the people who had eaten the meal Jesus and his disciples were remembering as a perpetual ordinance. I hope you know this part of their story. The story to which we claim adoption through Christ. They were commanded to roast a lamb and make unleavened bread, to use hyssop to paint their door with the blood, and to eat it girded and ready for travel. The Israelites in Egypt ate the meal as they were commanded, painted their doors in blood, and then sat as death prowled amongst them. There was nothing they could do to stop it. They could only sit and trust that God would keep the promise to pass over them. Imagine the emotions of that night, the fear of being surrounded by the terrible sounds of death, mixed with the anticipation of the freedom promised to come with the break of day. That is how we sit tonight. We have eaten the meal. And now we sit. And death in this world prowls among us. That is not a new invention. We don't call it into being by giving it our attention. It has always been there, but in the silence of this night, in this chapter of the story in which we find ourselves, we can hear it surrounding us. We listen well. It should be a terrible and frightening thing. We can hear the cry of a mother who went to check on a crib that is now cold and silent. We can hear the roar of explosions that bring down buildings upon innocent families that were hiding from an invading army. We can hear the quiet grumble of stomachs that lack enough food to survive. It should be frightening. If we are quiet enough, we can hear the footsteps of the evil one among us trying to use those sounds to prove to us that some of our neighbors are more worthy of our fear than our love. This should be a terrible and frightening night. It should also be a night of anticipation. We cling to the promise that this is the path to liberation. You see, too often we are told to look upon the cross with shame in our hearts, to look at it as what we have done. Look at what we made God do, the message implies. And let's be clear, contrition is not a worthless sentiment. We each bear some accountability for the fact that death still has power in this world. But God did not make death a part of this world. Tonight I tell you, look upon the blood on that cross as if it were the blood painted above the door. Yes, It is just more death. Both the Paschal Lamb of Passover and the Paschal Lamb given on the cross to die in our story have blood to shed. But unlike the death that surrounds us, these come with a promise to liberate us. We do not have the power to stop death on its gruesome march. It will plod on with unfaltering certainty. But for tonight, we stare at the cross, envision its blood, its source of our hope, the paradoxical promise of life and liberation to come from death and submission. And if we're honest, we do so with fear and trembling. Tomorrow we will be called to wander an unknown wilderness on our exodus from death to life. Tomorrow we will remember the meal not only as Paschal Lamb but also as manna from heaven, bread for the journey. Tomorrow we will remember the mandate given last night to oppose the forces of death with the power of our love. Tomorrow we will begin to crawl out of the wreckage of this terrible night, clinging to a different promise, telling God's story from creation to fulfillment. Tomorrow we begin the final day of Triduum, the vigil of Easter, the journey in liturgy that stands in for the journey of our lives, the path from this terrible night to the promise of Easter morning. But that's not the part of the story in which we find ourselves. Tonight we sit and listen to the terror that surrounds us in this world, and we remember the blood that was painted on the cross. We do ourselves no service if we skip this part. I know it feels good to pretend as if this moment isn't necessary for the story. It feels good to pretend like fear and suffering will go away if we just don't name it, if we always keep on the bright side of the street. But that's a lie, and deep down we know it. Deep down we know that the only way to keep ourselves committed to that lie, to avoid seeing it exposed for the flimsiness that it is to stay in the room. Never open the door. Never start the journey. And that's what letting fear and death win looks like. So tonight we have the courage to sit and listen to the reality of the forces of death in our world, to look upon them honestly. We do it dressed and ready for the journey, because death is not the end of the story, but it's not the beginning either. This is very much the middle. And we enter it as a people who follow the one who instituted our exodus. To paraphrase a far more accomplished theologian than myself, it is our task as the church, standing in the shadow of death, to speak truthfully in a society that loves illusion, to grieve in a society that practices denial, and to express the hope found where others would only find despair. That will look different in practice in the days to come. But tonight, it looks like sitting, girded and ready, listening to the terror around us. The promise was made. The sign of the covenant is in the blood we received in communion, but we are not yet there at that promise. That is the truth we tell tonight. We are not yet there. That is what we grieve tonight. We are not yet there. And the grand paradox of our faith is that is the hope to which we cling as we sit and listen to the terror that surrounds us.